right. Denny, can you hear us?
I can, yep.
All right. Congratulations on the Pocono win. You now are tied with Jeff Gordon, I believe, is the all-time winner here at Pocono. So just talk a little bit about coming up with another victory and just what it means to take home another trophy from Pocono Raceway.
It's awesome. I mean, I think that's the most wins I've got at any track now. So it's hard to believe because we went such through a dry spell there, kind of in the middle of my career. So, you know, we've just been on a roll here lately, and our cars have been really good, and Chris has just been doing a phenomenal job on his side of things, and I feel like I've been doing an okay job on my side. So anytime you have something like that happen, you're going to have great success.
All right. Well, questions for Denny. If you have one, just a friendly reminder, you may raise your hand in the Zoom platform, or you may send us a chat as well. We're going to take our first question from Zach with the Pocono Record. Zach, go ahead.
And congrats on this one. How special is this win, just in the sense of Pocono, you got your first cup wins here, and now to be the tied for the all-time wins leader here. How meaningful is that to you?
Hey, it's definitely meaningful. I mean, maybe one day I'll get one of those black rocks that they got here for all the good guys that have won it at Pocono. I don't know. I don't think this is it. I don't think this will be the last one. Just the way we're going and the way things are rolling with us right now, and you know, where I feel like I'm at in my career, you know, hopefully we continue to build on it. So we're doing a great job right now. Like I say, I hate to feel disappointed in a second and a first, but man, I really feel like we should have won both races. It just didn't work out, but yeah, I can't be too greedy. I got to be really happy with the result. Today didn't start off that well. I kind of got shuffled early. I got some nose damage we had to fix. The strategy kind of got thrown for a loop, and we still were able to battle our way back up front. So that's just a testament to great race cars and a team that's on it right now.
Thank you.
Got it.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jordan Bianchi. Jordan, go ahead.
Hi, Danny. You know, at the end there, when you're leading and you have to make a pit stop, and Chris is keeping you on the track, are you at all thinking, you know, what is he doing here? Are you second guessing him at all? Is your confidence in him just so much that you don't even think about it?
No, I knew what bed we were running there. I knew that the only reason he must have I knew that I was running a fast enough lap time out there on old tires that he was going to keep me out there, and then I noticed, you know, late, you know, about 10 laps after Harvick pitted, he said, you know, I asked kind of what's been our gap the whole time. He said, well, you've been a couple tenths faster. So, I mean, why not stay, you know, other than if a caution comes, which I'm screwed anyway, why not just stay as long as you can, come get fresh tires. I more than likely was going to be ahead of them anyway when I came out, which I was, because of the times that I was running on old tires. And then we were going to have the freshest tires in the field, even if a caution did come out. So, I think that, you know, we kind of played it perfectly there, but it's not like we had a whole lot different strategy than a lot of the guys in the top five. We just had a car that was just that much faster.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Dan Gelston. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Danny, what is it that you specifically and the Gibbs guys have really hit on here the last few years? I mean, all the drivers have won something like 6 out of the 7 races here, except for yesterday. What are you finding out that just works so well here?
That's information I cannot share. I wouldn't tell you anything that we've learned or anything like that, but we've just, you know, we've got a setup that's pretty close, and we're optimizing it and making the best of our days.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Bob Pockers. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Denny, I don't know when was the last time they had to bring lights into Victory Lane here, but how weird was that, and did they even need it because Victory Lane is so short these days?
Yeah, you really don't. I didn't even think about it, but to tell you the truth, I couldn't remember. Looking back, I don't even remember if there was, I guess there was lights, but because you're telling me so, but I didn't pay any attention to it. I just was hoping for no caution. If it was, I hope it was late enough in the day that they were going to call it for darkness. So I knew that we were in a great spot, just no caution. Spent the whole, you know, last, obviously 20, 25 laps, whatever it was after we pitted, just kind of, you know, picking my way through traffic. I wasn't super aggressive, didn't, you know, charge my entries, didn't do anything to take myself out of it. I knew I could manage my gap. I had the freshest tires of the guys that had pitted. So we were, as they say, in the catbird seat.
And was it any different this weekend with no fans compared to Talladega, which I guess probably had a few thousand? I mean, could you tell a big difference at all?
Yeah, it is a little different. I mean, you can hear the crowd, you know, even though it's just a few thousand at Talladega, you can definitely feel the crowd and the atmosphere, you know, even with a small amount versus kind of the boneyard that you got out here you know, today. So it's just a part of it's definitely different. You know, I wish, especially when you're on a roll like we are, you know, I wish I could live it up and, you know, get excited and kind of hear the fans, you know, give you a big F you and you suck and all that stuff. But maybe another day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take our next question from Marty Smith. Marty, go ahead.
Did you want me to holler that right now?
Sure, go, give it to me.
Man, every single weekend when you guys show up, it's like you and Harvick. This looks like a Hamlin-Harvick show that's unfolding in 2020. Do you consider him to be your greatest threat in this great season? And why are your two teams so consistently good?
Yeah, I mean, I would throw the nine in there as well. I think he's kind of been on a run. You know, he didn't have a great Talladega and he didn't have a great Pocono. But before that, you know, I think he had about 4 or 5 weeks in a row where he was in contention or had one of the best cars. So, but I think, yeah, certainly we've sustained some great finishes and even not great finishes, but great speed through an entire race all year. I mean, really, I would say specifically the last 10 to 11, we've been exceptional really since coming back from the break that we had. I thought we've been really, really good. And that's just that's a testament that like my team is really strong. They're doing a lot of really good work at the race shop, preparing our cars to be set up, you know, optimized right from the first run of the day. And we're always not, you know, where we're really struggling is not getting stage points. I think we'd be winning the regular season if we could get some stage points, but just the way the races have played out, you know, we've kind of made our bed to try to go win the race because we've had race winning cars. And so I'll definitely take race wins over stage wins, especially knowing that race win counts for five of them. So, you know, we've been doing good and we're just marching, you know, in the regular season points and obviously getting some playoff points there. And, you know, we just want to get back to the final four with a chance. That's all I can ask for. It's going to be a successful season if we find ourselves back in that final four with a chance again.
Thanks, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, Marty.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Courtney Harrison from WNEP. Go ahead.
Hey, Denny, I know this is a weird thing, not having any fans in the stands, but today was the first time NASCAR got to have a triple header with all three series going on in one day. Was that any different for you guys, or did it just feel like another day and you just kind of had to wait your turn?
Well, I think it was a little different for me because I wasn't in the bus. I wasn't kind of, you know, I didn't wake up to hearing roaring cars and all through lunch and breakfast and lunch and then us taking over. I came in here, you know, right after lunch because I spent some time with the kids. But for me personally, I'm probably the last one, you know, you should ask because I just wasn't here. So it felt kind of status quo from my standpoint. But I think it was definitely awesome. It's good to see that they could get all three races in one day and definitely, you know, like seeing, I'm sure the fans when they come back love seeing doubleheaders because it gets them, you know, a lot of racing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Scott Walsh. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Denny. You lamented a little bit earlier that you felt you should have won two races here. With the way the setup is, we're coming right back and racing the next day. Is that kind of one of the advantages that, you know, you felt you gave one away yesterday, but you can kind of come right back and get another one today?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, with all due respect to the four car, they have definitely earned their win yesterday. We didn't, you know, give it to them by any means. We just, you know, we just didn't have a total clean race. And I knew that he was kind of the – I knew that we were the best cars as far as speed was concerned. He just got the best of me one of those and kind of legged out a 5-second lead before we came in and pitted. So, but we ran them down by the end of the race. So I knew that we had, you know, probably a little bit faster race car, but things didn't work out. They earned their win, and we certainly earned ours today. But, you know, I think certainly strategy all aside, we still had the two best cars up front when it was all said and done.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Chase Wilhelm with NASCAR.com. Chase, go ahead.
Hey, Denny. So yesterday after the race, you came on the radio and said, hey, we will win tomorrow. So you basically called your shot. So has that ever happened to you in your career before where you said, hey, we're going to win and you end up doing it? And also, what does that do for the confidence with yourself and the team?
Well, I think it was Chris Gabehart that actually said it. I agreed with him. But the only other time that ever happened was Loudoun, New Hampshire in 2010 or 12. Not sure what year it was, but I think we said Friday after practice that we were going to win the race, and we went out there and dominated and won the race. So that was the only other time that I think that we've called our shot. But I can tell you inside of our heads, every single week we say we're going to win. So it's happened four times so far, and probably should have been more, but we're going to appreciate the wins that we do have and keep chugging along and keep, you know, pushing to make sure we get as many playoff points and try to finish as good as in the regular season points as we possibly can.
Thanks, Danny.
You got it.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Mark Garrow with PRN. Mark, go ahead.
Thank you. Congratulations, Denny. 41 wins, one more than Mark Martin. Now you're starting to climb into some territory with some pretty heavyweight names that you're passing and you're coming up on. And what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I saw the next guy in line was Bill Elliott, which obviously is a childhood hero of mine and the reason that I got into racing when I was 5, and I was just a big fan of his. And I think he's next on the list at 44. And, you know, I don't know. I just don't feel like my name, you know, you put them all on a sheet of paper of all these legends and Hall of Famers and everything. And I just think that my name kind of sticks out there as one that doesn't fit. But, you know, I also can't downplay, you know, the accomplishments that I've had in my career, and I've been really blessed to be with a fantastic race team that continues to keep getting better. It seems like every week we just keep getting better, and so I just don't see any end in sight right now. It's just you know, I'm not even in 2010, I just can't remember us going to the racetracks and just like, oh, we'll win this week, or we're going to be in contention to win this week. It's just, you know, we had dominating races in 2010 when we won 8, but I just, there's something about, you know, kind of how things are going right now and the execution that we're having that just feels a little different.
Okay, we're going to take our next question from Jeff Gluck. Jeff, go ahead.
Denny, I may have missed the backstory on this, but how'd you end up on a boat with Hendrick and Gordon this week?
They called and wanted to see if I wanted to go on a boat ride. I said yes. I had nothing else to do, so it was fun to say the least. But I was nervous. I'll be honest with you. I was a little nervous. I think 60 is the fastest I've ever gone on water, and I blew that out of the water.
And Rick was driving the whole time.
Rick, oh yeah, he's the driver. Jeff was just sitting in the back enjoying himself. I think he had already been on the boat for an hour or so, but you know, they invited me on and told me to hang on. They showed me where the O-ship bar was when things start getting fast, and I held on and hoped that Rick knew what he was doing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, we're gonna take our final question with Jenna Fryer. Jenna, go ahead.
Hey, Denny. I know every week is weird. Next week you go to the first ever doubleheader with another series. I'm wondering what you think that might be like and if the COVID regulations sort of put a damper on what that weekend could have been.
Yes and no. I mean, certainly the crown jewel events are different. You know, the Coke 600 was different. I mean, it had a you know, it was a shitty race for me, you know, when the lead fell out. But I don't know. They just all feel different without fans. And certainly, you know, would like to see him back sooner than later. But I know we got some, you know, issues going on in our country that we got to address. And but, you know, there's also we're in the entertainment industry and business. And we're trying to entertain the fans at home right now, and I think we're doing a great job with the protocol we've got here at the racetrack, and we're able to continue to do what we love and put on a great show. It's just unfortunately, you know, it stinks for us because it's not as much glamour around it, but you know, there's a bigger picture to it. So I understand, and I guarantee you, if I were to win the Brickyard 400 next week, I will put that trophy in the same spot that I would if there were 200,000 people there.
Will it be cool to race with IndyCar?
I've never been, you know, I've never been to an Indy race. And I don't know what the regulations will be as far as, you know, I'm sure we're probably not going to be able to go down there while they're on track or in the pits or anything like that. I don't know if they practice or not. I mean, I don't even know what their protocol is, but certainly would like to go there and check it out for the first time because I haven't been to one and excited to see how it works.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks.
All right, Danny, we appreciate your time. Congratulations again on the win, and we wish you best of luck next week in Indy.
All right, thank you very much.